This is a tribulation event. This is a period that occurs after the seventh trumpet. Watch the scene. The woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there. How long? 1,260 days. Add it up. This woman, which is national Israel, the nation restored, the people of Israel that have been brought back out of every nation, that have been suddenly descended upon by Antichrist, suddenly descended upon by Satan, will have the place prepared in the wilderness that is theirs. Antichrist breaches the covenant in the middle of the week. He reveals his true colors in the last 3.5 years. He's out to destroy Israel. The beast is released out of the abyss to empower him, out to destroy Israel. Satan is going to be cast down to the earth, out to destroy Israel. That's the time of trouble for Israel's people. Everything descends on them. Suddenly the Antichrist, they thought he was going to give them peace. He made a covenant of 7 years. In the middle of the week, he turns on them. Suddenly the beast out of the abyss is there. He's going to try to destroy them. Suddenly Satan himself concentrates every energy on destroying them. But God prepared a place. While Antichrist was doing his conquering and Israel thought he was their friend, he missed Edom and Moab and the place of Ammon. Now when Antichrist turns on them and breaks the covenant in the middle of the week, leaving 3.5 to go, and the beast out of the abyss adds his power, and Satan comes directly on the scene with a fury he never had before, then the time of trouble such as never is. And the woman, which is the people in national Israel that learn the true color of Antichrist and are faced with this trouble, have got to flee. The woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. There was war in heaven. All this going on at the same time. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought in his angels. And they didn't prevail. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. He once was the crowning cherub in heaven. He rebelled in a third of heaven. And Jesus saw him cast down. Ever since, he's been the prince of evil. Man gave over to him dominion to this earth. And he's the prince of the power of the air. And he's had access. And he's been the problem causer. Now Michael is going to be turned loose. That's the war that Daniel saw. Michael stands up and fights with the dragon. And he's no longer going to have. He was compressed out of his position in heaven, but still had access. Now he's going to be constricted down to one little globe in this universe, and that's the only place he's going to have any place to move at all. The dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. No longer prince of the power of the air. I heard a loud voice saying, where? In heaven. Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. He's no longer there to do His accusing. Who? The brethren. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto death. That simply speaks of the quality of those that are already up there. Therefore rejoice, who? Ye heavens. And who? Ye that dwell in them. Well, it's obvious. Those that are rejoicing are those that overcame by the blood of the Lamb. The saints are already in heaven. Tell you somebody else that's in heaven. The 144,000 Jews are there. Tell you somebody else that's there. I'm not sure I said that right. I just want to simply say the man-child's also there. They're the ones rejoicing. They're above it all now. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. But the woman's still down here. She's got to flee to the wilderness. So national Israel, for the most part, is here. But her kid's gone. Someone out of that national Israel. Now we get a limitation on the 144,000. I said when I preached on it, God knows who the tribes of Israel are. God's going to place a seal on 144,000. He knows exactly who they are. He knows where they are. Now let me state it, because this is prelude to next Sunday. The man-child is the same as the 144,000. They are a group out of national Israel that are sealed and saved and caught up by God and are not allowed to be hurt before these angels are turned loose, these demon locusts. A seal is in their forehead. We know what that seal is in the 14th chapter, because immediately following this outbreak of the final 3.5 years that unfolds the rest of this chapter in the 13th chapter, I looked and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his Father's name written in their foreheads. Next Sunday's the subject. As I show you, it's the same 144,000 as the 7th chapter. As I show you, it's the same as the man-child. There's only one special group of Jews, those sealed, that are in the book. Daniel in the 12th chapter says, those, as Michael stands up, he will deliver. Thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. As God's got a Lamb's book of life into which the names of the saints are written that are caught up at the rapture, God has got a book in which there is sealed 144,000 that He will pick in this last moment in the middle of the week, and that's the man-child. It's the 144,000. Sorry, it ain't going to be produced by a Jehovah's Witness. God's got them in His book. And He seals them with the name of God. He keeps these trumpets because they're going to preach. They are preachers of righteousness like this world will probably never see before then. And because they're the man-child, they're going to come out of national Israel. See, they'll lead a revival in that place in the midst of all the other mess. And when these demons are turned loose, God knows exactly where the 12,000 are from each tribe. They may have not kept their genealogies proper. God does. And that woman which is national Israel, pains to be delivered, out of her comes the 144,000. The nation brings forth a people. It takes a woman to bring forth a son. The woman is a symbol, a nation, reconstituted out of every nation, brought back as Ezekiel has it, to the mountains that have always laid waste. That God has said, I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep back, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, and I'll bring them again to the mountains of Israel, and will feed them therein on the mountains and in the valleys and the well-watered plains thereof. He's restored Israel. Out of that restored Israel, which is the woman, comes the man-child. Comes the 144,000. He isn't going to pick one over there in China and put a seal on him. They come out of reconstituted national Israel. The rest of the saints are in heaven. The Satan, the devil, was waiting. He wanted, waiting to get that man-child. That isn't Herod trying to kill Jesus. My Lord, Satan hasn't been cast out and certainly wasn't cast out back there. He's been working strong ever since. That's what the Ephesian letter says. He's the prince of the power of the air today. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens. And ye that dwell in them, the elders, the raptured saints, which are the elders, the man-child, which is the 144,000. You're only going to confront them. You don't find anything about them in the 13th chapter. You suddenly see them in the 14th chapter on Mount Zion with Christ. Rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath. Why? Because he... Don't you think the devil knows prophecy? I mean, his agents were there fighting with the angel that brought the message to Daniel. Why do you think his angel fought that angel that came to give the message to Daniel? He didn't want Daniel to get that revelation. He didn't want Daniel to open up the eyes of the people with that revelation. He knew exactly what the message was going to be. He knows when he's whipped here by Michael that he hath but a short time. He knows the days and the hours. He's only got 3.5 years left. And he knows that angel's going to come down with a chain in his hand in the 20th chapter of Revelation, lay hold on him and bind him 1,000 years, cast him into that bottomless pit. He's got 3.5 years. He knows it. Therefore, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. The devil's come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the or unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. How come he didn't persecute the man-child? He hovered because he wanted to get the man-child. That's what he was after. Ready, the dragon stood before the woman. He's still prince of the power of the air. He's operating both scenes. Ready to be delivered. Out of her comes the 144,000 to devour her child. He's prince of the power of the air throughout that 3.5 years. And when those trumpets start blowing and the seal is placed in their head so the demon locust will not hurt them, he knows about that child. Now when he's cast down, God protected the child and caught him up. When he's finally whipped by Michael, there's no man-child here. There's only the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into a place where she's nourished. That's the place God prepared, Moab and Edom. You say, well, if the devil knows all this, isn't he going to make sure that the first places that Antichrist conquers, Moab and Edom, he'll try. But God's still in control. Let me tell you, Moab and Edom are going to be spared. Because that's the place, her place, where she is nourished. I read to you a week or so ago the warnings and the prophecies to Moab. When my people Israel show up at thy borders, welcome them. Because they can gain in that evil day the favor of God for seeing their purpose to nourish this woman in the wilderness during that last time of trouble. She's nourished for a time. Remember Daniel? A year and times, 2 years and a half time, 3.5 years all total, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent, remember, there's a symbol. He doesn't come looking like a dragon or a serpent any more than the nation Israel looks like a woman. And the serpent, Satan, now limited to this earth, cast out of his mouth water as a flood. That symbol. Usually symbols of water as a flood is armies of people after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. You know, they're not running from a serpent. They're running from the devil, who's limited to this earth now, and casts out a flood. It doesn't matter. If you want to believe it's water, help yourself. Same fate of both. The earth helped the woman. The earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Not everybody, as always. There's always a Lot's wife that's going to hang on. Not everybody ran to the wilderness. Not everybody believes the Scripture that when they get to Edom and Moab, they don't know when they go, the earth's going to open up, but if they've read their Scripture, when that time of trouble comes, the place to flee to, I'm telling you, if you don't know it, wherever you Jews are, read your own Scripture. If you wake up some Sunday and Scott's gone, and nobody can find him, go to Edom, quick! You're safe there! But they don't know it except by Scripture. They don't know the earth's going to open up and swallow the flood. Be it people or water. They're running, fleeing. There's a doubting bunch. They're going to stay. And they see the dragon running after the woman. Symbol again. They think their compromise staying is going to work. He misses the woman. The flood swallowed up. What's he do? He turns around now and attacks the remnant that remains in Jerusalem, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Yeah? Wherever they are that he can find. I didn't mean that they're church saints. They're people that have woke up, come to their senses, who the real Messiah is, but not smart enough and scripturally taught enough and obedient enough to race down to that hiding place. Thank God we're up there with the Lamb. That's the way it's going to be, folks. You know, there's no place you can stop naturally in these messages. Did you say to be continued? Stand up, everybody. It's to be continued. Father, when we see your people under the kind of attacks of evil forces and the purposes of Satan unfold in your Scripture, to see the faithfulness that you have to protect your own. I stand here as pastor and speak for all our people, but I also speak for myself. I wonder how stupid I am sometimes to doubt your ability to keep your word in regard to your servants, your people, and your church today. We're dwelling on the promises to your people and your faithfulness in carrying out with precision your word in controlling the destinies of this world. Help us today. Help me. To hang tight on the promise, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Help every person in the sound of my voice to hang tight on the promise that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Help every one of us to hang tight on the promise you will never leave us nor forsake us. Help every one of us to hang tight on the promise you will not tempt us beyond that which we are able, but will with every temptation make a way of escape. Help us to hang tight on the promise that we are kept by the power of God. Help every one of us to hang tight on the individual promises. You will provide and you will heal and you'll be our peace. And you'll be our shepherd. And you'll be our healer. And that as a mother comforteth, and as a mother bird runs to protect her young, you'll come that way to help us. These individual promises gain their meaning when we see your faithfulness to a people like Israel, to the shaping of the destinies of the world, to keep your word forever settled in heaven in its truth. Well, the same God has promised to hasten the little utterances that come to us with the same strength of the big promises that control the destinies of nations. I speak for all of us today, Lord. We're not just preaching these things to tickle intellectual fancy. There's one message every Sunday I want coming through. You do what you say you'll do. Help us to hang tight in the assurance you're going to do for us individually everything you've said you'd do. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.